This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. We've been chatting in depth with Judge Julie this week. Got seedings and how many boards you need to play. It took a while, but we got there.
And here we are. We're actually recording this in the middle of the night, guys. The Bridge Zone never sleeps. It's a bit like
none
rust.
None of us are overseas either.
A bit like rust, isn't it? Never sleeps. And I hear that you've been collecting sea points tonight.
I had my Good Samaritan hat on tonight.
Mariana was down at the club trying to pick up a few entries for our Congress over the weekend. They were a player short in our novice night. Mariana was the novice for the night, and she had 8 seed points doing it. I think we've got 7 tables in the restricted open pairs. We've got 12 tables in the open pairs. We'd love another one. And, of course, the teams, which starts on Saturday. It'd be nice to get up to 24, but we'll see what happens.
And then we have the Consolation Swiss Pairs or the Walken Swiss Pairs happening on the Monday. And if you are hanging around Hamilton, come to the Jubilee dinner. Cost you $40 if you're not playing in the event. Get some nice tucker. Couple of free drinks. You get to chat to Barry. I know that's always on someone's bucket list.
You reckon? It's on Sunday night at what time, Mariana? 6:30, is it?
Yeah, pre-dinner nibbles and dinner's at 7. And I'll tell you what, there's a secret. Oh, I don't think it's that big. Well, it could be a secret because no one else knows apart from Barry and myself. Barry is going to be manning the bar.
Oh, God. And I'm telling you.
I had to search him for his credentials. He has none.
What I'm really worried about is that if the bar's open, you know, we know that Mariana will be fronting up there. You know, if we start at 6:30, by 7:30, she could be dancing on the tabletops, I reckon.
I'm too busy for that. Should be a great night. We've confirmed numbers today for 90 attending. Got a little bit of leeway in that. Anyway, let's talk about real bridge stuff.
I've got a problem, Mariana. It's sort of bridge related.
What do you mean you've got a problem?
I need an agony aunt or something.
All right. What's your problem? Can our listeners help you then?
Yeah, they think maybe they can. It's sort of bridge related, you see.
Okay.
I've got this horse. It doesn't play bridge.
It's not like Mr. Ed and Talks.
So some of the listeners will know that I name my horses after bridge things. Like I've had Tartan 2 and I've had Result Merchant and I've had Smooth Pass. Anyway, I've got a new horse. She hasn't got a name. So she's a 3-year-old filly. Her dad's name is Thunder Down Under. And her mother's name is Tartan 2. So if you can think of something that's bridge-related, I've had a couple of suggestions. Somebody suggested I call her Under the Kilt, but that wasn't really bridge-related. I had 2 under tricks.
So you're saying that we could potentially name a racehorse?
Yeah, we could. This will be its racing name. If anybody's got a suggestion, where do they send it to, Mariana?
bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. I can't believe that. Really?
A bit of a request. It's not the sort of emails we normally get, but anybody's got a suggestion, we'll look at it. And, you know, if this horse ever gets to the races, you might hear that name being called.
Well, I don't know. I'll have to think myself. What was it? Tartan 2.
Tartan 2 is the mother. Thunder Down Under is the father.
What was the names again?
I had somebody suggested to me called Lift Your Kilt. 2 under tricks or 2 down? To say 2 under tricks or 2 down. Sound like very inspiring.
And here comes something. 2 down, they're right at the back.
Maybe over tricks would be better than under tricks. I don't know.
So they have to sort of merge and be bridge. Something about Scotsman.
There'd be something to do with, you know, merging with the sire and the dam and something to do with bridge. I had another one called Blackwood, by the way. So we've not had to reuse these.
Oh, well, that sounds like a bit of fun.
Coming up next, we're heading off to the courthouse. Director, please.
How can I help?
Judge Julie presiding.
Hello again. It's that time of the week. By gosh, it goes fast.
It does indeed.
How are you today?
I'm good. How about everyone else?
Every week she always says she's good. Everybody knows that.
Well, she might be bad one day.
I'd like to be bad every day, but I'm not allowed.
I want to talk to you about seeding, Julie. Yep. I was talking to Patrick the other day and he was seeding a tournament that was coming up.
Oh, that's a relief, because since you're a farmer, I was a bit concerned about what we're doing.
Well, we probably don't want to talk about that. But anyway, the question, I mean, a lot of players would not understand why you would want to seed a field of bridge players. Why would you do that, and how would you do it?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I always have, and because the people that I learned from always did. And we used to see the New Zealand pears field. We used to get lists. I think Richard Solomon actually gave out to us to seed the field, and he'd get several people to do it, and he'd collate them. And so why? Well, okay. In a normal Mitchell movement that we play most of the time at most clubs and in a lot of tournaments by force, we have two fields. We have an east-west field and a north-south field. Whilst we play our opponents who are sitting the opposite way to us, our scoring is compared to everyone that sits the same way as we do. So I will get two match points for every person I beat sitting the same way as me on the board, and one for everyone I tie with and none for everyone that beats me. And so my percentage is heavily dependent on the abilities of me being better than the other people that are sitting the same way on the boards when I play them. I will do well if everybody sitting the same way as me is weak. I might run into the odd problem because I'm playing some strong pairs, and sometimes what they choose to do will impact on my score. But since everybody has to play the people sitting east-west in a lot of movements, it's going to be okay because everyone has to play them as well as me playing them. So they'll have the same impact on everyone else. So my real opponents when I sit down are the people sitting in the same direction as me, right? So it's important if we're playing a tournament that the fields are relatively even across. What we tend to do is we split into groups. We might have two sections, so we'll have two north-south fields, two east-west fields. And we want people to meet people that are relatively even, and everybody in each group to be relatively even. And sometimes, because people don't play the way that they're meant to, they don't always play as well as we expect or as badly as we expect. Sometimes when we look at the scores, we'll see that in Group A, this North-South group scored, the top score was 54, but in that other North-South group, the top score was 66. You know, so maybe something odd's going on there about the way the seedings worked. That's one of the indicative. And one of the things that will really help you here is the World Rugby Cup. The teams were seeded on their position in the world 3 years ago.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good idea.
Now, can we see what's happened in the quarterfinals? We have had two amazing matches. And I don't normally watch the other side play, but I got glued watching France playing South Africa. Right, we've had two amazing matches where the teams that are currently in the top four are on the same side of the pool, and they've all played in the quarterfinals, right? Mm. Because the seeding has ended up being uneven.
Mm, it has. So your aim is to not have that happen at a bridge tournament.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've won rugby players a lot. They're stronger than I am. But yeah, effectively, yeah, okay. So seeding is about fairness. It's about the fact that we can have fields that are roughly equal, so when we sit down, everyone playing everybody, and they're going to hit about the same sort of thing. Now, we can do it roughly. Sometimes you'll see when we go to a tournament, particularly one that's more social than it is competitive, that you'll get people that have to sit at a reserve table, where the reserve pairs, often if we hit that, Barry and Jenny and Patrick and I, start with each other. On the basis that they think we're roughly equal. We might disagree at various points about how equal we are, but we're not going to go there either.
Well, we often disagree. It isn't just about that.
So we start together, and that means one pair will be north-south and the other pair will be east-west. So that's a very rough form of seeding, but it can work quite nicely.
So if you've got a tournament like the one that Patrick had and he decides he's going to seed it, how does he go about that?
Well, the first thing is that the rating point system gives us an indicative idea about seeding. We have a problem. Some players don't play much in this country sometimes. We've had people that have come in from overseas. Some people don't play as often as other people. So the rating point system, which is something that we get with the number of master points we earn and gets depreciated, that will give us a rough idea of the seeding. So first step, easily, is just to sort the field in by rating points. And then to go through, and normally as we have, he had a north-south and an east-west group, sort of, really, He's way better at having balanced movements where it works out evenly. But he had, I think, four groups, and he made sure that every group was 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way around the room, effectively. So you played an even mix of people.
By the way, Mariana, this tournament he was seeding, it was a 5A tournament. It wasn't, risk of sounding, you know, a bit...
Do you know what the average number of A points was per player?
It wasn't a special tournament. It was just a 5A tournament. But actually, Patrick told me that the top 90 pairs had 126,000 A points between them.
In the total field, the average number of A points per person was over 1,300.
Wow.
I think there was one intermediate pair. It was just incredible. It was phenomenal, the number of A points. The amount of money that that group of people had spent playing bridge was absolutely amazing.
So when you rock on up to a tournament and you've got a seating plan, it's been seeded?
Yes.
And when you don't have a seating plan, it's just rock on up.
No, well, normally you'd have those things like reserved tables, and that's a rough, ready. It's not an effective. Like Papatoa, I don't know if they still do, but they used to do it with their three-night tournament, and we did too because we have people walking in. So not knowing who's going to arrive, you can get people and just say, well, if you sit here with this person, at the beginning, and you have an even number of those tables, then you spread it around the room, then you tend to get roughly ready. And you would have noticed at Congress that in the second session of some of the events, we ended up with a seating list because they took it off the results from the first session, and that gave them their seating for the second session.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say I agree entirely with it.
Regardless of whether you had to play, because I do recall that we had to play people that we'd already played against again.
Sometimes you do. I mean, sometimes you can't get everything. You know, you just have to do what you do. So sometimes people will play each other, and that we just do the best we can. Bridget, it's about the competition and not about the sociability, really, at a certain point.
Well, it might not have been perfect at Congress. It was better than seeding it from the New Zealand peers of 3 years ago, wasn't it? Like the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're
so,
right.
So at normal club level, would there be ever a reason why you might want to seed a club session?
We get a few phone calls from clubs that have their championship pairs. So they have an event that runs through the year or over a period of weeks, and it's their signature event for the year for their players. And they want to get the best result they can. And somewhere, someone said once that you had all the good players sitting the same way as each other, which is an appalling thing to do because it's sort of just random luck who you get on what board. There are poor other players playing in the opposite direction. So ideally, roughly by just having people starting with each other to make it an even field. But generally, it's statistics. It's probability. It's a bell graph. Right. So if you play enough boards over a long enough period of time, so if you have a 12-week event or something like that, where you're playing 24 boards a night, the people that are going to win will be at the top of the field at the end of that night, at that period, just because of the volume of the boards that you play, and that playing enough just flattens out any luck that it comes along. But you still would like it to be relatively even.
On a similar note, you know how when you go along to the club, you know how everybody always tosses and the winners all.
Oh, yeah. My Thursday morning supervisor the other day, I said to them about tossing a coin, and I looked around the room and I said, you know, it's a really interesting thing. I have never seen anything like it. After I said to toss the coin, everybody stayed sitting in the same direction. How did that happen?
Well, but perhaps the north-south coin tosses were very lucky that week.
Yeah. So a lot of people say that they've got no coins. So go onto Google and get a toss of a coin that you can put on the screen, right? Yeah. But the other way is $20 notes, because Patrick and his $20 notes must be getting famous by now. He keeps giving them to people and say, odds are even for the last number, okay? Or your credit card. Odds are even for the last number on the credit card. And that's easy. So you can do it lots of different ways.
Most of the people that don't want to toss just say, you're happy to move, aren't you?
Some people are, but it's actually, I mean, you'd see the same people. When I moved to Auckland, I was amazed at the hoops and loops and things that Patrick gets people to go through for the movement. But he tosses a coin at the beginning to decide whether they're going clockwise or anti-clockwise. When I directed in Picton, I forgot which way clockwise and anti-clockwise were because I'm a bit bereft in that department, and I managed to get them to walk into each other. But Patrick, it's amazing, but they get to play different people, and that's really good. We want to play different people. We don't want to play the same old all the time.
It'll shock you to know, Julie, or maybe it won't, that if you come in, not that I play very often on a Tuesday afternoon in Hamilton, but if you do, if you sit east-west, you'll always play the same 9 or 10 pairs north-south, week in, week out. Yeah. Well, I mean,
with age and movement ability, sometimes you end up with a situation where you do have a lot of people that actually don't have a choice about being seated. But it's not normally that many people, right? And the answer is toss up a coin and the winners must sit north-south. Not that they choose which way they sit either, which makes a difference.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us about your book, Julie? Julie wrote a book called, what was it, Patrick's Motions, was it?
Patrick's Movements.
Oh, sorry, I got the wrong.
A long time ago with New Zealand Bridge, because he has a lot of different movement, and most of them work on the east-west moving around the room one table at a time. So the east-west players move normally, and there's lots of fun stuff with the way that the boards go with webs and MIT move, all sorts of movements. But basically they allow, you can play two or three boards a table, and with whatever numbers you get, you can play most of the numbers that you want to. All right? Now, yep. You can't always play everything because for the movement to work, there's things that you must do. So you can't say we'll always play 24 boards in a night, irrespective of the numbers, because you can't do that because it just won't work. You have to have 25 or 20. Sometimes you have to have odd numbers of sets, sometimes even. You can get close with some movements.
Yeah. Well, talking about number of boards, how come when you rock on up to a tournament, you play this many boards, and when you enter another event, you've got X amount of boards? Why do they all differ?
New Zealand Bridge sets a minimum requirement for the number of boards that you have to play for the number of master points that they allocate. So to get full C points at a club session, you have to have a minimum of 20 boards in play. You might only play 18 or something if there's a phantom, but you've got to have at least 20 boards in play, although any given pair might have to sit out for phantom. All right. If you're playing a 5B, then we're going to play two sessions, and I'm going to run into a problem here because I'm actually not up to date with the minimum requirements, but I'm pretty certain it's 22 boards a session. So it'll be 22 or 24 boards a session. The original, years ago, it used to be that we worked on 24 board sessions. Tournaments that took two sessions were a minimum of 48. That has been dropped down a wee bit. Three sessions were a minimum of 72, and so on and so forth. And the A points that got allocated meant that you played more boards and more boards. We've got a wee bit more relaxed. We don't require that you have to play as many as we used to now, but there is a requirement to play us a minimum number of boards, like a minimum of 60 boards for a 5A tournament, so that everyone has to play at least a certain number to qualify to get the A points that are up for.
So how many is the minimum for a 3A?
It used to be 48. I would have to look at the manual. They're on the New Zealand Bridge website, and Alistair will always let you know. And in the manual, it's the last section, which is the allocation of master points. And it has the minimum requirements for all things that you play.
Right. Like you said, for a 3A, it says a minimum of 48 boards. But there's nothing wrong with playing like 50-something?
Well, sometimes you'll play more because of the numbers that you've got.
Okay.
Right? And what the format is and what suits your people. Depending on who you ask, and I'm well aware that if you ask Patrick, and actually I think some other people have worked out how many boards they get for how many miles they travel as to whether it's worthwhile or not. Some people like playing lots of bridge, so they like to have lots of boards. Some people, I mean, when we enter to play a tournament and we travel to go and play the tournament, do we really want to be there for the minimum amount of time we possibly can be to get back home? Why are we playing? Isn't it for the enjoyment? But the numbers of entries dictate the minimum number that we can play around those recommended by New Zealand Bridge. Mm-hmm. And then other things to do with format will probably come into play about what our local population like, and whether it's teams or whether it's pairs and those sorts of things.
Right. Okay.
Okay, there you go, Mariana. Actually, I'm not too sure. Those minimum numbers of boards have changed, and I can't.
I do know that. I think an 8B is a 44 now, where it used to be 48.
Okay.
We're hosting a 3A this weekend, a Swiss Pairs on Monday, and that minimum is 48, so we're doing 5 rounds of 10. And the other week, when we had the Power Cup with Patrick, we were doing 7 rounds of 9 boards, so we were doing 63 there, because we I think the minimum number was 60.
That would be a 5A. So with your 3A, you've got a start time and you've got a finish time. And because it's the end of a long weekend on the Monday, I'm sure that you've got the things around that and the knowledge that people need to get away. So what you choose for that might be different to what you choose for a 3A that you run that's a bit more relaxed at the beginning of a weekend or something like that. And certainly in like Twiss, 5-10s, is faster than playing a pairs movement where you play 48 boards. Because every time you move, you're taking an extra half minute to a minute for every move that you make. When you're in Swiss, right, it's particularly the scoring there, less time.
Mm-hmm. How does it work, Julie? Like on the weekend, we were running a teams event where the first day is qualifying and the second day is the final. And obviously not everybody will play in the final. So how many of those boards count towards your total number of boards that you've played?
Again, the regulations have the thing about the minimum requirement for what you play and what you don't play. I think actually most of the ones that we have with mini congresses, we've actually played nearly all that we require on the first day. But you are fine, because the A points go down to a certain point and you qualify. Normally the number of people that qualify are the number of placings, pretty much. So there is stuff around that, and there is some other stuff, because you're allowed to have a qualifying event and a final. That makes a difference there as well. I do not have the exact figures to hand. If I'd known you were going to ask me so much, I might have had a read.
All I'm meaning is, do both days count? So if we play 60 boards on the first day and we play 60 boards on the second day, obviously that's plenty of boards. But
you're fine, aren't you?
If you're required to play 72... and some people will only play 60 because they're not knocked out on the first day.
I think you're pretty well okay with a qualifying and a final there.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. But I would have to do a double check just to be comfortable about the actual regs in that area. But nearly all mini congresses run on qualifying and a final. Not all, but a lot of them have qualifying final formats. And we've never had a problem with them. So.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. We don't want it to feel too comfortable, though, do we, Mariana?
And all going well. Patrick rang Blair yesterday because he was surprised that he hadn't heard from Blair. I'm sure Blair won't mind, because Patrick said New Zealand Bridge had a problem with the processing of the master points that came up. Patrick said he was surprised that he hadn't heard from Blair, because Blair nearly always used to ring about when those master points hadn't been processed.
But maybe he's given up.
He's got plenty now.
Where's the lie? I know a player that became convinced during the year, or during overtime, that he wasn't getting all his C points. So he had a little book and he wrote them all down.
I know that I am minus 52 C points that I should have, because I stopped playing when they computerized. I played beforehand, and then I wasn't a member when they put everything on computer. And my 52 C points pre-computerisation, I've never, ever seen them.
You could probably write a strongly worded letter to New Zealand Bridge saying how important they are to you.
How many years old are they first? Hang on, how many years?
I am not telling you that, okay, because they are really old.
I tell you what, I reckon those 52 A points would probably be a bit saggy and worse for wear by now. They would
They're not even A.
They would have depreciated to nothing.
Thank you, Julie. And we all know now that you've got 52 more seed points than anybody knows.
Let them all know.
Yeah. You work hard for those early seed points.
Absolutely.
I ask for it so much to you.
All right. We'll catch you on the weekend.
Radio. Bye.
All right. So I know that you've got your hand in long gloves every day this week, which is why you're not playing. And no, he's not testing out his evening wear. He's got special plastic ones.
Regular listeners will know what I'm doing.
Judge Julie reckons she's going to make a sign so she doesn't have to keep repeating it while you're not playing.
He doesn't like saying it once, let alone more than once. Otago Southland have got their weekend congress on as well. I'm just looking at their open pairs. They've got about the same as us, 11 and a half tables.
What's the number in their teams then?
They've got 12 teams. So, they've also got an intermediate teams.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, they're struggling a little bit with their intermediate teams. Only three. So if you want to enter the intermediate teams at Otago on the weekend, get in there.
Wondering, Barry, you know these three-day long weekend things. Do you think that it could go to online for 3 days?
See, I have been giving this a bit of thought, and I did actually think that can't really go online because we'd be in competition with Otago, wouldn't we? On the other hand, perhaps we could, and I haven't spoken to Otago, if anybody's listening, I wonder if the Otago province would be interested in going into partnership with Waikato Bay's province and running a weekend event that was open to everyone. Yeah,
like biannual.
Yeah. I think there's no reason we couldn't just run it jointly, maybe. And I don't know how the details would work, Mariana. I haven't thought that deeply about it. I just thought there's absolutely no reason we couldn't run this event. So instead of having us having 22 teams and them having 12, we could have 34 teams. In fact, maybe we'd have 50 teams if we run it online. Who knows?
Mm. I have got a quick question before we go, because we're going to run out of time for this week, peeps. Barry, can you recall how long ago it was that Hamilton started their Labour Weekend Congress?
It must have been going for 30 years, I reckon, at least.
I've had a look around 1986, the schedule of tournaments, and I can't find it then. But I know for definite that it was going in 1999. So if anyone else does know.
I remember playing in it in a teams event, which would have been very early 90s. That gives us over 30 years, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? So if anyone out there does know, let us know, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com. Don't forget, if you've got some names for Barry and his nag, alrighty, we'll catch you next week.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.